The Founding Fathers enumerated many freedoms in the Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution included in those rights are the right to a free press, the right to assembly, and free speech. But today, critics note that cancel culture, in effect, nullifies those constitutional rights. One of the great conservative commentators of our time is Dr. Paul Kanger, who teaches history and political science at Grove City College. He's a best-selling author of many books on history, including God and Ronald Reagan. Dr. Kanger wrote recently an article entitled, When Cancelers Cancel Themselves. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome back to the program Dr. Paul Kanger. Paul, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Jerry, it is always good to be with you. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. So tell us about cancel culture and the Founding Fathers and the idea of free speech. The two seem mutually exclusive to me.
Well, I mean, it's something that America is supposed to believe in. In the First Amendment to the Constitution and the first 10 amendments to the Constitution are the Bill of Rights. And the First Amendment includes several freedoms, by the way, the first of which is freedom of religion. That's actually
absolutely
listed first, right? But freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. And so freedom of speech is this time-honored tradition in American history, dating back to the American founding. Really, the fathers of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution would be James Madison and John Adams. So the founders always believed in this. And today,
but what if you disagreed with that speech? Do they still say, "Oh, you have the right to say it"?
Yeah, I mean, really, and in fact, the left talks all the time about tolerance, and what is tolerance? But tolerance is about tolerating things that you disagree with, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's so true.
It's no sign of tolerance to say, "Well, I will only tolerate ideas that I agree with." That's idiocy, but that's where a lot of the left is coming from today. So they use tolerance and diversity as these kind of clubs, to get what they want, to beat away people who disagree with them. As the late Nat Hentoff of the Village Voice used to say, and he was really a real liberal in the way liberals should be, free speech for me, but not for thee. They believe these modern kind of leftist forces, and David Horowitz likes to say, don't call them liberals. They're not liberals. They're not real liberals. They are leftists. Maybe call them secular progressives, right? They are leftists. And a leading leftist from the 1960s, Herbert Marcuse, one of the leaders of the Frankfurt School, Marcuse called this repressive tolerance. And it was his idea that you tolerate ideas from the left, but you show intolerance to ideas from people on the right. And what makes this even more difficult, and especially here I'm talking to a lot of Christians in your audience, is that today you can be put on the right for things like believing in marriage between a man and a woman, or believing, as Genesis says, that God made them male and female, two genders. And so here we are today, Jerry, and it's like, they're going to put you on the right if you believe in the 2,000-year Christian understanding of male-female marriage. And I'd say, why does that make me a right-winger? every Democrat in Congress agreed with me on that just 40 years ago, right? This is where they are, and they refuse to tolerate people who disagree with them. And worse than that, not only do they show them a lack of tolerance, but they show an intolerance to the point where they cancel people like that. And that's where we are with cancel culture.
And you wrote recently about an incident involving a campus. Michael Knowles is a very strong conservative voice. And by the way, I think he wrote a foreword for one of your books or an endorsement. But tell us about him and tell us about the debate. And here's one line from your article, which again, I've linked to here. When cancelers cancel themselves, quote, they had not come to listen. They came to shut down. Tell us about all this stuff.
Well, that's exactly right. So Michael Knowles, who, yeah, indeed, he wrote the foreword to my book, The Devil and Karl Marx. And he is a Daily Wire commentator. He's probably, I don't think he's more than 30 years old. He's a pretty young guy, went to Yale, and he was recently invited to speak at the University of Pittsburgh, my alma mater, Pitt. And he was there going to do a debate on the issue of transgenderism. And these left-wing forces, LGBTQIA plus lobby, they had already tried to cancel Riley Gaines, who's the female swimmer from the University of Kentucky, who's been speaking around the country against the idea of biological males who identify as female competing with females in collegiate sports. In fact, Riley Gaines had to go up against Leah Thomas, the 6'3", 225-pound biological male who identifies as a female. And she's saying, this isn't fair. Martina Navratilova, who was a feminist and a liberal, the great tennis player, legend, icon, she agrees with Riley Gaines on this. So they tried to cancel Riley Gaines from. What I think was especially offensive about the Michael Knowles event, they tried to stop the Michael Knowles event, which was a debate, Jerry. It's a debate. And Knowles' interlocutor here was Deirdre McCloskey, who is a kind of well-known transgender economist who wanted to debate Knowles, right? They wanted to have a debate. And the cancelers didn't even want these people to show up for a debate. And the debate was hosted by the College Republicans at Pitt. It was hosted by ISI, Intercollegiate Studies Institute. And by the way, I could speak to this not only as somebody who went to Pitt, but about 5 years ago, I moderated an ISI debate at Pitt in that same room between two guys who disagreed on immigration. And we got protests. These idiots showed up in the audience with kazoos. They started blowing kazoos the minute that the speaker started speaking. And one of the two debaters was actually to the left of these people. If they would have listened to him, they would have figured that out. In fact, his name was Alex, and he was shocked. He's like, "Why are you people kazooing me? I'm to the left of you. Listen to me. Let me speak." So with the Knowles debate, Deirdre McCloskey, the transgender economist, pulled out under pressure from the LGBTQ lobby, of course, in the name of tolerance and diversity, right? So they brought in instead Brad Palumbo, who's a homosexual and a libertarian. And Palumbo defended, so-called trans rights. Michael Knowles spoke against them. And here again, they protested. In fact, I'll quote Palumbo, who wrote this after the event. He said, quote, "I was quite literally there to defend trans rights. But as he sat on stage, I heard multiple loud explosions, often the not very far distant. It turned out to be simply fireworks or smoke bombs, according to reports, but in the moment, we all feared it was something worse. Activists had me scared for my life. The Pitt police had to declare a public safety emergency. Outside, Jerry, they burned Michael Knowles in effigy, a big poster cutout of Michael Knowles. ISI had to spend over $20,000 on security. It was something like almost 30 police officers. And these are the new forces of tolerance, right? This is how they treat debates of all things. So my point with this article is, the cancelers ended up canceling themselves to the point where they didn't even have a voice at the debate where you could even hear their side. And that's pretty pathetic.
You know, this reminds me of a line from Gary Bauer, which he repeats from different times, at different times, which is, "The left today doesn't want to win the debate. It wants to shut the debate down." I think that's so true.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And as I watched that Michael Knowles Brad Palumbo debate, and I watched it from the safety of my kitchen at home because it was live streamed. But Palumbo, who, like I said, is a self-described quote unquote gay libertarian unquote, he did a pretty good job, Jerry. I mean, I thought he was wrong. I thought Knowles was right. I mean, I'm a conservative. I'm a traditional conservative. Like Knowles, I'm a kind of traditional conservative Catholic. So I thought Knowles was right. I thought Palumbo was wrong. But Palumbo did a good job making the case for his side. And I remember thinking, You know, if you're a liberal watching this debate, if you're like a pro-trans LGBTQ liberal, and you're watching this debate, and you're angry that your side wasn't up there on stage, well, guess what? Your side took itself out of the debate. They had a spot at the debate, and guess who gave them the platform? The Pitt College Republicans, right? The Intercollegiate Studies Institute, the conservative group founded by William F. Buckley Jr. They offered you a seat, right? And you pulled out. So your voice wasn't heard. And it makes a lot of the people sitting in that audience, including maybe some people who are from the kind of pro-transgender side, it makes them and everybody else sitting in that audience think, boy, these guys must be afraid of debate, right? You know, maybe they don't want to stand up here and have their point of view tested. What does that tell us about them? Very interesting. I think it speaks volumes, frankly.
It does. I agree with you. You and I have discussed in the past about Dr. D. James Kennedy. You said you listened a lot to his radio ministry and a lot out of
Big
it.
Big admirer.
Yeah, me too. And I remember one of his sermon anecdotes. He said, one day the janitor on Monday found the notes from the pastor, and it said on the margin, argument weak, pound pulpit here.
Oh, wow, interesting. Is that right? Well, that's fascinating.
Well, I mean, in other words, you know, it's like you have really a weak argument, so you got to, you know, make out like, oh, everybody believes this, blah, blah, blah. Here's from your article. A telling moment occurred as Knowles began to speak. A student from the progressive LGBTQ side started haranguing. As she was removed from the room, another student shouted, fascist. That student leveled that charge not at Knowles, but the protester. Interesting.
Right. Right. And in fact, Knowles at that moment, Jerry, looked at the student who yelled fascist and said, is that for me or is that for her? And the student in the audience said, no, it's for her.
Wow.
Right. So for the LGBTQ people who want to portray in that debate scenario, Michael Knowles as the fascist. Well, guess what? Who got called a fascist at the debate by someone in the audience? The LGBT person. Because they're there trying to shout down the debate, and that's how that side looks. And once again, you know, these are the proclaimers of diversity, of tolerance, and they're anything but.
Well, we have about a minute left. It's kind of scary, though, Paul, when you think about a lot of these college students are the future. And instead of, embracing robust political debate, as the founding fathers might have encouraged and even engaged in, they're more like the snowflakes. And it doesn't portend well for society, in my opinion. We have a minute left.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And they are snowflakes. I don't know who came up with that phrase snowflake, but it's really good, right? I mean, they just melt, you know, so easily. And they come off as sort of petulant children throwing temper tantrums, right? And if they don't like something that's going on, they jump up and down, they shout, they literally scream. Outside, inside. In my case, in the debate I moderated, they bring in kazoos, Jerry, right? And I've seen them also online yelling at people by putting their hands over their ears and yelling, or like blowing a trumpet at someone when they're trying to speak at them. And they come off as the ultimate whiners. And if you're maybe sympathetic to their side going into a debate, and then you see them act like that, it immediately tells you, man, maybe I'm on the wrong side. I would really want to be on the side of people like this, of the cancelers. Well, and yeah, that's what they've become. And like I said, in this case, the cancelers ultimately canceled themselves.
Mm. Faithandfreedom.com for more information. Dr. Paul Kanger, always a pleasure. Thank you, Paul. All the best.
Thanks so much, Jerry.